Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, The Hand of God, a 2021 Italian drama film directed by Paolo Sorrentino. Yusuf, well, you were originally going to see something else, but it was a little bit too long, and you suggested
three hours.
3 hours.
Yeah, it was Oppenheimer length.
This was a little bit more manageable, only 2 hours 10 minutes, and it flew by.
Yeah, honestly, I wish it was longer.
Me too.
That's how fun I had, how much fun I had.
Have you seen any of Sorrentino's movies before, other than The Young Pope?
I've seen The Great Beauty like I think 5 or 6 times. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
I've seen it a lot. Yeah, I've rewatched the hell out of that movie. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it's very romantic. It's like, I'm a novelist and I'm in Rome and I'm partying. And then, you know, his life is like sort of like, but he's done nothing after that. But that's not the point. This was, I think, way better even than The Great
Beauty. Even more intimate.
Which won an Oscar. Yeah.
Have you seen Youth?
And
Youth was
no,
very
I
sad.
Have not.
That was good too.
That's the Tim Roth one, right? And Harvey Keitel or something.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel, Michael Caine.
I'm thinking of Youth Without Youth.
You think of Youth Without Youth? It's Michael Caine and the other guy.
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel.
It was Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. No, I'm thinking of The Bucket List. You know, according to the IMDb page of this, it said that he when he watched Roma, which was based on Cuarón's
childhood
in Mexico City, that gave Sorrentino permission to commit his own experience to film. And I think this is way better than Roma.
So much better than Roma.
Yeah.
So much, it's less pretentious.
Yeah.
It's not obsessed with like, oh no, I'm going to frame it through like my caretaker. And therefore, the process, like, okay, sure, dude. But this one is just him. And it's about how much he loves his parents. And I it was very sweet.
Yeah, I really loved his mom.
Oh, it's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
When she did the prank call for, like, so stupid.
Yeah, oh my God, that was brutal.
She's like, oh, we want you want, and then they all came down to confront them. It was great, and they held their entire family up for interrogation.
But you know what I really appreciate is his sense of the, like, there's this, you know, little mystical thing,
magical surrealism, like,
yeah but it's not overt,
yes,
you know what I mean?
And it's like the Pope show was kind of all that was literal all over the place in the Pope show, and I love how in this one he kind of adds a little context to it, because it starts out with like his aunt's little poet, like little magical realism moment, right? She's like, no, I saw the little dwarf, and in the end, like, she, even though it's pretty probably evident that she's just having a mental health crisis, that's what's actually going on, he tells her like, I believe in your story about the little door, little monk. And at the end of the movie he sees it as well. I think it's just like him acknowledging that, well, we do this, like, reality sometimes is cruel, but that's why cinema exists, so we can do like insert these little moments and realize them. Like, I think that's what I got from it. Yeah, Michelle, what did you think? Sorry, just Michelle, have you
ever seen? No, Michelle has to,
I really liked it. I really liked it when we first watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it remained a good movie.
It
held
up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those movies where you can rewatch it and still find new things and also have fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like if you rewatch, I don't know, I rewatched Magnolia. Actually, no, that's a bad example. It was really fun. Certain films you'll watch and you'll be like, I'm glad I went through that, like Capernaum or whatever it's called. You know what I mean? I'm glad I've seen it, but I would never.
Will not subject myself to it again.
Rewatch this, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this was both of them. It's like, I'm glad I saw it, but also I would rewatch it.
So you went in blind, right? You don't know what the halfway point, the shift in the story. How do you feel about it? It must come across It shocked me when I first watched it. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe this is what the story is doing now. But what did you think? How did you feel about it?
The darkness of the parents passing
yes.
and stuff. Yeah, it's, I mean, it kind of, I guess it works, because if it wasn't there, if that wasn't the sort of the crux of it, I feel like it would have been a more like hollow experience. Then it would just be like, no offense to Richard Linklater, but like sometimes I feel like his movies are just like, okay, well, we're hanging out and it's fun, but then after that I'm like, did I learn something? Did I like feel something? So I did feel like, you know, this was a kind of a, it moved me.
Yes. I love the relationship between him and his brother too.
Yeah.
Especially
I
in the
thought it was weird that his brother left.
Yeah.
Because like, he was still young, if he's his only caretaker. But I guess it's the 80s, so he can look after himself. I don't know.
And they're Italians.
They're Italian.
These people
yeah.
are.
He's probably legally allowed to drink at that age, so.
Yeah, it's probably just eating a block of cheese. And
oh, I love that. The great aunt just
the,
eating that mozzarella
oh
block.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
Wearing the coat, I was like, is she cold?
No, she's supposed to show it off. But I love that bit at the funeral when the great aunt comes to him and she gives him like a, I guess, like a passage from poetry or something like that as like this acknowledgement. Because he's the, always been the one in the family to go like, he's the one, he's the poet or the intellectual or something
yeah.
like that. And now at this moment when he desperately needs it, she comes over and offers him something. Like, no, I too share this with you. Like, it's really sad and kind of sweet.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's like the perks of being a wallflower, but for adults.
Yeah.
It's a good, I feel like I when I saw the perks of being a wallflower, I was like, this is so profound, and I was like 12 or whatever, 14 or whatever, I don't know. But now if I rewatch it, I'm like, ugh, and this was that, it was good.
It just holds up. It's actually about
yeah.
like yeah.
Yeah.
What did you in terms of the hand, the actual title, The Hand of God, it was very funny because we were telling our friend Aleem about that we watched this movie yesterday, and the moment I saw it, like, oh, it's called The Hand of God, and he's like, oh, is that
yeah,
about like
Maradona?
Is that about Maradona? I'm like, yeah, it's not a, like, it's, that's incredible.
Yeah, I have such a like yeah, he was like, I mean, I think to a lot of people who grew up watching football, it he's one of the like great figures.
He's a god,
just
at soccer,
this,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, but not only that, but he's a character too. He's like a well, I'm going to recommend this after, but he's lived such a like full life that he's like a trickster figure sort of. Like that alone, like my dad, I remember my dad telling me that story and he was like, "Oh," and then he claimed it was God's hand that put the goal to like give Argentina
God.
The justice of winning the, yeah. So all of that stuff, he's like such a fascinating figure. It's not like he's just like Pele or Messi or whatever. He's not just good. He's also like such a fun character that everyone was like rallying around.
It's like a real life superhero, you know, somebody who's actually larger than life. And
yeah, he's like Rudy.
He's like, it's speaking of which, when they first announced the title of the movie, apparently Maradona's estate wanted to sue them because
he's
of the
dead?
Title.
What?
Or no, his family, like, or him, like, he wanted to sue them, because, like, and then, like, I think Sorrentino had to, like, elaborate, like, no, this is, like, about my childhood through, he had to, like, elaborate with him, which is so sad, because clearly, he idolizes, like, the movie is actually about the love for him, like, as a player, and, or soccer in general. And it's even funnier if you go on Sorrentino's Instagram, where half of the stuff is just him gushing about Maradona anyways. So it's funny how he decided to sue him. He probably didn't know what he
yeah.
was trying to do.
I mean, honestly, if I lived in Napoli,
beautiful, so beautifully framed in this. Oh.
Yeah. Oh my god, it makes you want to move there right away. But if I lived there and the greatest player in the world at the time came inexplicably, because apparently, he was hooked on coke with the mafia or whatever. Yeah, I would be like the world would just, my mind would be blown, and I would be attached to that figure for the rest of my life. Because even seeing Salah, Mo Salah here, he plays for Liverpool, and everyone's like, he's like a god in Egypt. And the entire country watches Liverpool matches just because, he plays there.
Yeah.
And so he's like a figure that I think for most children, they're like obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfectly understandable how he feels about him. I kind of get it.
Their love for soccer is almost, he shoots it like his love is the same for his love for God. Like it's the same sort of reverence. Sorrentino has a very distinct visual style. It's hard for me to pin. I was trying to pinpoint like how to really describe it, because it's like these sweeping camera moves that just flows across these spaces. It's grandiose, but at the same time, it doesn't come across as like something like Terrence Malick, where it's like very intentionally imbued with meaning and stuff like that. I think it's, a part of this movie is him arguing that his aesthetics can just be for aesthetic's sake. Because like that scene in the end, the director's grilling him, like, "Do you have something to say?" Like, it's almost like him interrogating himself as like his career. It's like, what did you actually wanted to say with your films? What's the point of you trying to make anything at all? And it's so sad. Well, his like teenage self is like, "Well, my story is that they wouldn't let my parents see, like, let me see my parents' body," and I thought that was so sad. Like, ultimately, what is there a big message at the end? No, it's just him like expressing this very, very deep down, like, fear. Like, I don't know. I thought it was, I don't know, harrowing, but it's like, yeah, maybe film doesn't need, you don't always need, like, a big philosophical message to make, to make your art mean something. But, I don't know.
No, well, it's like he's a visual guy. He wants to make movies, and he needs to see that his parents are dead to, like, fully accept it, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, yes, because why else would they have that extended sequence? All the stuff with the parents alone in the house. It's like, oh, I want to change the fireplace and stuff. Like, all of that, of course, is leading up to their death. But maybe only now, after him, like, shooting it, and can he find solace? That's so sad. I don't know.
I don't know how you could experience that and keep going.
I love his sister who never came out of the bathroom until the very end of the movie. I wonder what that was all about. That was very funny.
I didn't pick up on that the first time.
No, I didn't.
I remember being confused about who she was at the end.
Yeah. And I love how he never gets to watch Once Upon a Time in America. I'm supposedly that's like a very formative, like, probably influenced him a lot as a kid. That's why he kept putting it in the movie. Well, do we have anything else to add?
I probably have like a bunch, but I can't even remember.
You should watch The New Pope. It's very, very good.
Well,
that's why this didn't click with me as strongly the first time I watched it, because I was fresh off like watching it. I was like, this is amazing. I wish, like, I was hoping for just more of that, but this is decidedly a lot more different, a lot more personal. But second time around, I totally vibe with it. All right, shall we take a break?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. And we're back. Now let's step right up. 7 meals, everybody.
6.5.
Nothing's perfect.
I'm going to go 7. I loved it.
I'm going to go 7. This is great. Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And sad. So perfect. All right. That brings us to what we've been watching this week. Well, Michelle and I, due to your recommendation, we watched the Jennifer Lawrence comedy.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna talk about.
No Hard Feelings.
I loved
it. What did you liked it, right?
Really loved it.
You really loved it?
Yeah.
Have you seen the director's like first film, the one with all the? It's called Good Boys.
Good Boys. Yeah. I found that funny too.
I
found that afterwards. I am surprised by the nudity in it. I was like, Jennifer Lawrence is doing this? Wow.
And it's, well, it's, I think it's very strategic. They didn't leave the nudity for like a sex scene. It's just her fighting these people naked on the beach. Which is so hilarious. She suplexes somebody to the ground all naked. What? That was ridiculous. I do wish they made like the kid even more awkward and like undateable, but I guess the whole point is that he's just this normal kid who's been overcoddled by his parents, and like that's like the point the movie's trying to make. But I thought it was very funny. I liked it as well. Michelle, did you like it?
It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were a lot of good jokes.
Yes.
You know, and it was a good performance by her.
Yes.
I forget how charming she is. She's really funny.
She's very like down to earth and relatable when she's given like the right role.
Yeah, like I really loved the scenes where she's trying to be sexy, and he's just not picking up on it at all.
Yeah. The funniest part was when he thinks that she's trying to murder him by turning her into a car, and she's just oblivious. It was very funny. It's also funny to see Matthew Broderick finally play, like, you know how Ferris Bueller ends, like, the movie ends in, like, Cameron's dad's house?
Yeah.
Like, this movie's, like, the house he's in, it's like, oh, it became, it's like Cameron's dad. Like, it just becomes that guy. You grow, you age into that eventually. Time comes for us all. I thought it was cute. We watched Passages, erotic drama starring Ben Whishaw and the girl from Blue's Warmest Color, as well as the guy from Undine. It was alright. It's one of those like movies about how terrible European people are.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, it's just about...
Just European people. It's
just
one guy.
Europeans.
It's just one guy. Well, the European guy, like that asshole guy.
Plus, if you're going to go that route, an American's way worse. But
Americans
that's a whole
are.
Other conversation.
That is true. So it's a movie just about this like asshole director who orbits around to his husband and like this girl that he's basically cheating on his husband with, and he destroys them both. That gets fine. It's hard for me.
Forgettable.
It's kind of forgettable because like there it's the plot is very circular, so nothing really devolves beyond like him ruining these people's lives, and they don't. And the fact that he doesn't really grow as a person is part of the point, I guess. So yeah, it's all right. You get to see Paddington Bear just fucking hammer down in bed. It wasn't even that explicit, to be honest. It wasn't even that explicit. I was expecting like a complete like shock fest, a Gossamer Noe thing, but no, it was all right.
Yeah. Huh.
No, it was no, yeah. But it's more sad, like because like I think the point is like. My sex stuff becomes very, very sad by the end because it just becomes obvious that he's just a wreck and a child. So yeah, all right, give it a go if you're in the mood for something. Let's move on to what we'll be watching next week. What are our recommendations? What are our recommendations?
Oh, yeah. So my recommendation is a documentary that is called... Maradona. It's really good. It's I think it was a HBO. Wait, I'm trying to find it. It's pretty good. It's like got a whole like HBO documentary. No, wait, what's it called? Okay, I can't find it. Oh, it autocorrected to Madonna.
Is that what you're looking for?
Diego Maradona. I think that's it. It's just called Diego Maradona. And it's a really good documentary. Yeah. It's super cool. It goes through his entire life and really frames, gives you the context. And I think it's a British film directed by Asif Kapadia.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Screened out of competition at the 2019 Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, it's recent then.
Yeah. It's pretty dope.
It's pretty dope? I'll watch it. I'm interested now. Because Aileen gave me a pretty breakdown on what a character he is as well yesterday. So I'm fast. fascinating.
You know what? I think I watched that documentary with Aleem, actually.
Ah.
So, you know, he probably knows a lot about him.
Michelle, what's your recommendation?
The Fableman.
God damn it. yeah, The Fableman is like the film I thought about the most closely.
Really?
Well, my recommendation, in terms of the same idea, like using these magical realism to retell your own life, is Bardo. Is the Iñárritu take on this sort of film.
I love these.
I liked it a lot too. I like that a lot too. Michelle, not so much.
No,
I thought it was amazing. It's very, it's similar. It's not as funny as this, and nowhere as structured as this, but similar vibe. It's beautiful. So that's my recommendation.
Bardo.
Bardo is the Mexico side of things. It's like
Roma.
It's better than Roma. I liked it even more than
really?
Roma. I think Roma just felt too like.
Does it have a bear rape scene?
No, unfortunately.
Ugh.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
What a scam.
I think he does climb over like a pyramid of corpses, though, which is pretty cool.
Pyramid of corpses? Oh, hell yeah. Okay,
yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah, that's in the movie. It's great.
Remember in the Young Pope where he climbs out of the babies?
The baby? Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. Oh. Need to watch the second season. It's so good.
Okay, I'm gonna watch
it. So good.
I'm gonna watch it.
But okay.
After
we
watch Sorcerer.
After you watch, okay, R.I.P. freaking.
Yeah, rest in peace.
I need to watch Sorcerer too. I should have done The French Connection. Oh, never mind. All right, well, what
you
are we watching?
You still
next
haven't.
Week?
You still haven't said anything, so you could.
Well, it's.
And as I've proven,
it's okay. We're gonna.
It's it's okay.
You're making a last minute pitch.
Yeah.
Which side decided? We haven't done a Michael Mann yet, so we're gonna do a Michael Mann.
Okay,
we're gonna
yeah.
watch Thief.
I'm downloading it as we speak.
It's on Criterion Channel.
I don't
you can
have
watch
it
there.
Anymore. But anyways.
Oh, okay. You can use ours.
I'd rather download. All right.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
That's what we'll be watching.
I
next
mean,
week, so keep
legally
it
buy it. Sorry.
Legally. Well, given the fact that the movie's called Thief, I think it's just a. It's also a perfect. It's okay.
So,
it's okay.
That's true.
Alright, so whether you're tuning in legally or illegally, join us next week for Thief. Thief. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.